they are also liable to confiscation. How? Any goods attempted to be exported by sea or air or inland waterway or land frontier station. Any goods attempted to be exported or brought within the limits of any customs area for the purpose of being exported against any prohibition. Any goods found concealed in a package which is brought within the limits of a customs area for the purpose of exportation. And any goods which have been loaded or attempted to be loaded on any conveyance, the eventual destination of which is a place outside India without the permission of the customs officer. Mind you, any goods which you are required to be exported, documents have got to be present to the customs officers, clearance has got to be obtained, and the customs officer has got to give an allow order to export that goods in writing. Once such a permission is granted, then only the goods can be loaded on the vessel for going out of India. If that is not done properly, in a proper manner, then it is liable to be confiscated. Any goods which are not included or are in excess of those included in the entry made, that means in case of goods going out of India, there is an export general manifest. If they are not included in EGM or excess included in EGM, such goods also will be liable for confiscation. Goods which are entered, that means shipping bill has been presented, but the value of those goods are not correct as per the physical condition of the goods. Goods which have been entered for exportation, that is shipping bill for claim for drawback has been made and goods have been presented, but the required information is not properly furnished, they can be confiscated. Goods are cleared for exportation but are not loaded for export on account of any willful act or negligent or default of the exporter. Once the custom officer allows the export, the goods have got to be loaded on the vessel. If due to any reason the goods are not unloaded, then also such goods are not properly exported, liable for confiscation. Goods being loaded for export without permission, or any specific goods which have contravened any of the rules. Confiscation of conveyances. Conveyances like ships or aircrafts are also liable for confiscation. How? If they are in Indian customs water but they are fitted for concealing goods, concealing smuggled goods, or from which whole or any part of goods is thrown overboard or destroyed to avoid detection, or which have been required to stop or land, fails to do so, except for good reasons and sufficient causes, they can be arrested or confiscated. Any conveyance or aircraft from which any improper export goods or improperly imported goods is found or import goods are missing, they can be confiscated. Any conveyance or animals used as a means of transport in the smuggling of goods or in carriage of any smuggled goods, the animal can be confiscated. Now let us look at the adjudication process. It is actually a legal process under the Customs Act 1962. Why is it required? If during the course of search of any person or premise, place or conveyance, if the custom officer has seized certain goods, documents or further investigation is required, then in such cases, the custom officer will issue a show cause notice to the importer, exporter or owner of the goods within 6 months of such seizure, informing him of the grounds on which it is proposed to confiscate the goods or to impose a penalty. In case no show cause notice is given within 6 months, the goods have got to be returned to the person from whose possession they were seized. It basically means that there is no case as far as those goods or documents or things are concerned. But if the show cause notice has been issued within 6 months, then the importer, exporter, or owner of the goods to whom the notice has been issued has got to give a reply. He has got to make a suitable representation in writing, giving details or documents justifying the correctness of his case. Proof that yes, he has legally got those items. There's no smuggling or avoiding of custom duty. He has got to submit his proof. He has got a chance to submit it. In reply to the show cause notice, he has got to give a written reply. After he gives the written reply, the custom officer has got to give him a chance to be present before him to give a personal hearing and to explain each and every point with any additional notification, additional documents, additional statements justifying his case. That yes, he has done things correctly. He can also argue by giving other proof and stating certain case laws of various courts in support of his case. After he gets a written reply and after the personal hearing is over, then the adjudicating authority, the custom officer who is adjudicating the case, will decide on the show cause notice. After deciding, he may withdraw the show cause notice and drop the case. Or he may order for confiscation of the seized goods. And he may also apply penalty on the concerned person. Goods are confiscated totally and penalty applied on the person as per the, on the basis of the order issued by the customs officer. Now, once the goods have been confiscated totally, as far as the customs department is concerned, it is in no way interested in keeping the goods with them. So, the custom officer will give a chance to the importer, exporter, or owner of the goods to redeem the goods by paying a fine. He will mention the fine, which has got to be paid if the goods are to be released to him. But such a fine cannot exceed the market price of the goods, unless in the case of imported goods, the duty chargeable thereon. Such fine will be over and above the duty, interest, or any other charges which are payable by the person concerned. And if the fine is not paid within a period of 120 days, then this option will become void unless the importer, exporter, or owner of the goods goes into appeal at a higher level before the either appellate commissioner or the CESTAT, Customs, Excise and Service Tax Appellate Tribunal. As far as penalty is concerned, penalty is applied on the person concerned for import purposes. Any person who has improperly imported any goods liable for confiscation, or any person who has aided that person or abetted in committing that improper import, he shall be liable. In case of prohibited goods, penalty up to the value of the goods or 5,000 rupees, whichever is greater. In case of dutiable goods, penalty up to 10% of the duty evaded or 5,000 rupees, whichever is higher. Other goods or baggage, if the declared value is higher than the actual value, penalty up to the difference between the two values, or 5,000 rupees, whichever is greater. Dutiable prohibited goods, penalty up to the value of the goods or the difference between the declared two values, or 5,000 rupees minimum, whichever is the highest. And under prohibited goods or baggage, penalty up to the duty evaded or the difference between the two values, or 5,000 rupees, whichever is higher. All these penalties are on import. Let's say for export, any person who attempts to improperly export or aids and abets, and the goods are liable to confiscation. Then in case of prohibited goods, penalty up to 3 times the value of the goods. In case of dutiable goods, penalty up to 10% of the duty or fine, 5,000 rupees, whichever is higher. Mind you, penalty is 10% of the duty. Plus duty, if applicable, has got to be paid with interest separately. It's not that duty will be foregone, duty has not got to be paid and only 10% penalty is applied. No. Duty with interest plus 10% of the duty, or 5,000 rupees minimum. In case of other goods, penalty up to the value of the goods. As far as declarations and documents are concerned, any false declaration, any false documents which are signed or used before the customs officer, then in case the statements are false or incorrect, penalty up to 5 times the value of the goods. And in other cases, any controversial, any person who contravenes any other provisions of the Customs Act or who abates in the contravention, penalty up to 1 lakh rupees. As far as conveyance is concerned, if the person in charge of the conveyance has not satisfactorily accounted for or failed to discharge any goods so declared in the IGM, he shall be liable. On importation, penalty up to 2x the amount of duty chargeable on the goods which has not been declared. In case of coastal goods, penalty up to 2x the amount of export duty chargeable on the goods. Duty or interest, if the duty interest has not been levied or has been short levied or part paid or has been erroneously refunded by reason of collusion, it shall be liable to penalty equal to the duty interest so determined. Apart from recovery of all duties, penalty on the equal amount. In all the above cases, if interest or duty which is payable by such an order is paid within 30 days from the date of order, the amount of penalty can be reduced to 25% of the actual penalty if paid at the same time. Well, customs officers are also human beings. They can also make mistakes. But if they make genuine mistakes, they do not come under Section 136. But if any customs officer does or connives at doing any act by which any fraudulent export takes place, or any duty of customs is levyable, or any prohibition in force on any goods which is evaded, that means the custom officer helps the importer or exporter, then he shall be punishable with imprisonment for a term not exceeding 3 years, or with fine or both. Or if the customs officer searches any person or place without official permission, without having reason to believe that he has goods or documents liable to confiscation secreted on him or at that place, or he fraudulently arrests any person just to harass the person without being guilty, or discloses official particulars of any goods, he shall be punishable with imprisonment up to 6 months, or with fine up to 1,000 rupees, or both. Now, in case of all import, export, consignments, all transactions, there is a compulsory audit. But the audit itself has been simplified. The International Convention on the Simplification and Harmonization of Customs Procedure comprises transparency and predictability of customs control by the use of risk management and audit-based controls. Accordingly, customs also has widened the scope of audit. Now, the customs officer will not carry out audit of each and every consignment before the clearance takes place. But he will carry out the audit of assessment of imported goods or export goods or of an auditee in the following manner. Number one, either a transaction-based audit, that is a post-clearance audit. Once clearance is completed, within 6 months, the audit officer may take up certain cases for audit, and if he finds that there are any shortcomings, he will send a notice. First of all, a consultation letter, and then subsequently a notice. Next is the premise-based audit, that is on-site post-clearance audit at the premises of the auditee. Auditee is an importer or exporter or custodian or any person concerned directly or indirectly in clearing, forwarding or dealing with import, export or dutiable goods. All such persons can be a part of the audit. Audit today is known as a post-clearance verification. And here, the risk management system will select bills of entry or shipping bills for audit after clearance of the goods. Individual officers cannot use their discretion. And such documents will be taken up and given to audit officers for scrutiny by the EDI system. It has got to be by EDI system. In case any possible short levies are noticed, officers will issue a consultative letter setting out the grounds for their views to import, export, etc. This is intended to give them an opportunity to voluntarily comply and pay the difference if agreed to the department's point of view. In case there is no agreement, then the formal process of demand notices, adjudication, as I have explained to you before, they would all follow as a result. If you comply, admit that there has been a genuine mistake, comply with it immediately. The on-site post-clearance audit is based on Customs Audit Regulation 2018. This is a new audit procedure which has come into presence. The auditee, who I have explained to you before, shall preserve and maintain all records, including electronic records, documents of or accounts, or negotiations for a minimum period of 5 years. On request by the authorized customs officer, mind you, it has got to be an authorized customs officer, duly authorized by the audit department. Then you have got to make them available and in relation to all imported or export goods or dutiable goods. Then he shall render all assistance to the team of officers in the discharge of their official duty. Selection of audit shall be based on risk evaluation through appropriate selective criteria. And the authorized customs officer shall give at least 15 days notice to the importer, exporter or any auditee to furnish documents, information or records to conduct such an audit. He may inspect the imported goods or export goods or dutiable goods at the premises of the auditee or request the auditee to produce sample if available with him. He shall inform the auditee of the objections, if any, if he has got any objections, before preparing the audit report. And give the auditee an opportunity to offer any clarification or any supporting document or evidence which the custom officer may ask for. And then he will prepare, custom officer will prepare his audit findings. If the auditee is agreeable and he makes voluntary payment of any duty, interest or sums due which have been short paid or there is a shortfall, then the custom officer will record all these details in the audit report and he shall complete the audit. In case if it is where it is conducted at the premise of the auditee within 30 days, this can be extended by a further period of 30 days from the date of starting of audit. Thank you.